We're going to look at a verse from Isaiah. It's Isaiah 52, verse 7. This verse from the Old Testament, looking forward to Jesus, because this was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. Prophet Isaiah wrote it, but he certainly looked forward to and foretold of this Savior that would be coming. And that's what this verse is all about, reading about, speaking about the good news. So let's read Isaiah 52:7 as we get started. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. We just sang about our God who reigns. Look at some of the words in here as we get started. Beautiful feet. Beautiful, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings the good news. Somehow our feet become beautiful when we bring God's good news of peace. That's what we're going to look at this morning, how we can have beautiful feet as we bring this gospel good news message of God's peace available to all of us. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for these children who just sang wonderfully with all their hearts, God, who are beginning to see and get some clarity, God, on you, the pureness of your good news. And Lord, we're all in that place. We're beginning to see the clarity of your good news. And Father, I pray this morning that you would be here with us through your Holy Spirit, that you would move, that you would speak, that you would touch us. God, I don't know how everyone came this morning. I don't know what their week was like, but you do. And Father, you can meet us in that place. You can meet us here this morning, whether we're kind of flying high and things are going really well, or it's been a tough week, or a tough month, or a season, or a tough life. God, I don't know that, but Lord, I do know and I do trust that you are an alive and active God, and that your word can speak to us, and that your Holy Spirit can touch us in deep places in our soul. And God, that's what we're praying for this morning, that we then could be more motivated, that we could have a clearer understanding of what you did, and then be those proclaimers of that peace that is found in the good news of your son, Jesus. So God, we're going to lift all this up to you now, thanking you for the blessing of being here. In Jesus' name, amen. The good news, beautiful feet. I do not have beautiful feet. I'm just going to let you know, my feet seem to be getting uglier and uglier every year. And my wife reminds me of this. She says, I need one of those things where somebody goes and he works or she works on your feet. Is that a manicure or a pedicure or something? Pedicure? Okay, thank you, Mary. Yeah, she's pretty adamant that I sort of need that because my feet, that's why I wear shoes up here. I've seen preachers that wear sandals, and I'm just not going to do that for your sake. I don't have beautiful feet. I've seen beautiful feet. I appreciate, like anybody, beautiful feet, but I do not have beautiful feet. Now, our culture is obsessed with physical beauty, aren't we? We are obsessed with it. We lift up physical beauty beyond many other things that are so much more important in life. But we almost worship physical beauty. Think of the amount of money and energy and time that we spend to make ourselves look different because we somehow think that's going to make us beautiful. Beautiful feet. You know, that type of beauty that we are so obsessed with is not in any way what Isaiah is talking about here. He's not talking about the physical beauty that we naturally go there in our minds. When we hear beautiful, we think physical beauty in some way. But that's not what he's talking about when he's telling us that you can have beautiful feet. Let's define that word beautiful. The Hebrew word for beautiful is the word na'ah. And listen to what it means, and it's not a physical beauty thing. It means to be pleasant, to be settled, or to be at home. Now that's a very different type of beauty than what you may see when you just look at the outside of someone or their life. It's very different. It's a settled, it's an internal beauty. It's a true beauty where my soul is settled in to where it should be. Have you ever been internally settled? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been internally unsettled? We all know what that feels like, don't we? We know what when we are unsettled or anxious, when we are in turmoil inside, when it is not all well with my soul, we know what that feels like. Every one of us have had times or seasons. And again, as I prayed, you may be in that time or season this morning where it is not settled. It is not pleasant. You don't feel like your soul is at home. But Isaiah is trying to get across a point that as we begin to walk out the gospel, we can have this settled place, this settled state. We can have what we would call beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Now, how do our feet become beautiful? You know, the word feet obviously describes a journey that we're on. And every single one of us is on a journey. All of us walking through this life. I don't know where you're at in your journey. You probably don't know exactly where I'm at. But we are all at a certain place in this journey, and we're walking through this life step at a time, just walking through life. Your journey may be a very comfortable, pleasant journey right now, or it may be very difficult and anxious, and that's not right or wrong. That's just a different place in your journey. But we are all on a walk. And somehow, we can have beautiful feet on that walk, depending on how we live out this journey. Now, 3 weeks ago, I told you we were in Door County, Wisconsin, and we had some wonderful times. It was winter, and one morning we woke up in Door County to, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 inches of fresh white snow. And I mentioned to you, and I think we have a picture, and I showed you this picture, and I said, there's more to this story than just that. And I said, maybe it'll make its way into a sermon sometime. Well, here you go. We woke up to this snow, and my wife, Andrea, actually motivated us, and she said, let's do some, they had free snowshoes that you could just kind of take out and use. Let's do a snowshoe thing. And so, okay, great, let's do a snowshoe thing. So I went and got all the snowshoes, and there was two sizes, big and bigger snowshoes. And so you either had to choose big or bigger. I chose bigger, everybody else in the family chose big. Well, Selah, our 4-year-old, is not big, and yet she chose big because that was the only option. And so she puts on these snowshoes that are probably up to about here on her, and she starts off. And she's, and it's deep snow, and she's trying to trudge through it. And she had a good attitude. We all did when we started. And she's clomping through the snow, and my son Andrew is leading the way, and Tirza is encouraging everybody she can, and Selah is just, my 4-year-old, just trying to keep up. And she falls a couple times, and her sister picks her up, and she falls again, and her brother picks her up, and she falls again, and her mom picks her up. I'm in the back. I'm just watching all this stuff. But she's got this wonderful attitude, like she wants to keep going. And she's fallen and she gets up, and she's fallen and she gets up. But she wants to keep going, and so we're still trudging. What we didn't remember was as far as you go, you must return. We forgot about that. We didn't realize the fact that as far as you go, you got just that far to go back, and you probably do not have the same energy coming back as you did going out. And none of us are snowshoers. And so we get as far out as we're going to go, and Selah fell. But she fell differently this time. And there, she fell, and it was over. It was done. It was over. My wife took a picture of this. You'll never see my wife in any picture, by the way, because the moms, they're always taking the pictures. She took a picture because she was done. She could not go any further. She was exhausted. And picking up her big old huge snowshoes just took its toll. And she could not go any further. What are we going to do? We are how far out? I don't know how far out into the woods. We got these snowshoes that we're trying to trudge around with. Everybody else is kind of tired too. What's she going to do? Have you ever been there in life? Have you ever been there? I think we all have. We have all been at a place in life where we fall over and we think, I can't do this. I can't go on. What am I supposed to do now? And what do we do in those moments when we are there? What do we do? That is a very significant question, because the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. No matter who we are going to go through times and we're going to have seasons in life when we're there, when we've had enough. What did Selah do? You may know what she did. Dad. Dad. I can't go on. I can't walk anymore. Will you carry me? Dad, will you carry me? I did what every good dad would do. No! Shame on you. Get up. Get walking. You better follow. No. What did I do? You pick her up. All of her and her weight and her heaviness and her, and then you carry your snowshoes too. Dad, I can't do this. I can't get home on my own. I can't get home, Dad. Will you carry me? Will you please put me on your shoulders, Dad, and carry me home? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Every one of us has had to get to a point where we say, I can't do this. I can't get to home on my own. I can't get to heaven on my own strength. I can't get home, God, on my own ability. God, I'm a sinful person. My sin has put this separation between me and you, and I can't get home to heaven on my own. And I need you. Will you carry me? And God said, yeah. In fact, I'll send my son Jesus. I'll send Jesus. He'll get you home. Every single one of us have to get to a point where we fall down and realize, I can't do this on my own. I can't get home. I can't make it. You know, the pure gospel is not one of earning your way to heaven. It's not one of having the strength to get to heaven. It's not one of saying the right prayer, doing the right thing. It is not one of earning, deserving, meriting heaven. It is one that said, I can't do this, God. As mankind, we couldn't do it because we are fallen people. We all make mistakes. And God said, you know what? I love you so much. I love you with a love that you can't even comprehend right now. So I'm going to send my son. And he's going to carry you home. And he's going to get you to heaven. And that's the gospel. The gospel is we didn't deserve, earn, or merit heaven, but God sent his very son to take our place on the cross and to get us a place with him for eternity. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news. And my little daughter, Selah, did not know peace. She did not know true peace until she was sitting on my shoulders enjoying the view. She didn't. She was all worked up until the very moment that she said, Dad, can you help me? And I put her on my shoulders and we started walking, and she's happy as can be. We won't know internal peace for the first time until we trust in what Jesus Christ did for us. Until we trust that God sent his very son to take care of the sin problem that we had, and that is the gospel. But you know what? The gospel doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop simply with what we have received, the peace we have received when we trust in Jesus. Because then he makes us his ambassadors. Then he says, you know what? Not only am I going to give you the greatest gift of all time, I'm going to allow you to be a proclaimer of that good news. I'm going to allow you to not only receive that gift, but to share that gift. See, our enemy and our flesh try to tell us, this news, you got to keep this kind of quiet because it's just not that great a news. But we have the privilege, the amazing gift, and we've been talking about this for weeks now. Beautiful feet. You know, Isaiah told us that to have truly beautiful feet, we must publish, proclaim God's peace. To have feet that are settled. When we trust in Jesus Christ, our soul becomes settled. But then, the only way for our soul to find a new place of peace is if we begin to share that peace. Listen to this, please. Our feet become beautiful when we bring the good news. You see, God saves us by nothing that we did. But when we make a decision to begin bringing and sharing that good news, God says, you got beautiful feet. Your journey will be settled. You will feel at home when you start to share this amazing good news that you've now given, that you've now received. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had news that is so good you are just like bursting with anticipation to share it? Have you ever had news like that? News that you think, man, I just can't wait to tell somebody. You know, maybe as a student, school's over. I want to tell the world. Or I got a job. You graduate from college. You start looking for your first real full-time job. You get a job. You can't wait to tell somebody when that interview goes so well and they call you back and they say, we actually want to pay you money to do something. Or I lost 10 pounds. Man, I've been working at this forever, and I lost 10 pounds. Or you know what? She's having a baby. It's good news. Have you ever had that news that is so good you are bursting with anticipation? But think about this. If the news is that good, you are not settled until you share it. If the news is that good, if you are so excited to share the good news, there's something inside of you that is unsettled until you share it. Isn't there? When you share it, all of a sudden, oh, I shared that. I got to share that. Whew, that felt good. You know, that's the same with the good news. There's a part of us, when we trust in Jesus Christ and we start walking with him, there is a part of us that will not be settled until we begin to share this good news that we have received. We will have an unsettled part of who we are if we are a Christian who is not proclaiming. We won't have that settled in, at home, pleasant, internal state until we start to live and share this good news of Jesus. So let me ask you, do you find yourself as a follower of Jesus consistently unsettled? Because you shouldn't. God has given you more than that. I'm not saying should your life be perfect. Don't mishear me. I'm not saying that whatsoever. None of our lives are perfect. But there should be something inside of us that is settled. Our souls should be settled. And if we are consistently living with an unsettled soul, maybe a part of that is because we're not sharing this good news that our spirit wants to share so bad, but our mouth won't do it. You see, it's just like any good news. If you have the good news and you don't share it, there's going to be a part of you that's in turmoil. But when you begin to share the good news, something inside of you settles down. Something inside of you begins to experience truer peace, deeper peace than just what you received when you received Jesus Christ. So many of us as Christians, because we're not sharing the good news, we live with this unsettled state, and we don't even know why. And a part of that is maybe because we're not sharing. You know, that word peace from Isaiah is the Hebrew word shalom. Let's all say that together. Shalom. Isn't that a good word? Say it again. Shalom. That's a greeting in many cultures. Shalom. It means peace. It means safety. It means welfare. It means rest. It means it's a picture of restoration. It's a picture of restitution. There was some kind of a friction. There was some kind of a problem. There was some kind of an issue, but now it's been resolved. It's been taken care of. There's now shalom. We're going through a thing here at Bayside called Financial Peace University. Financial Peace. That sounds like an oxymoron. Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey is doing a course. There's some students, some people right now in a room right over there working on getting their finances in order to experience financial peace. And one of the things he recommends, which is one of the greatest pieces of financial advice you can ever get, don't go into debt. And they work on credit card debt. Now that just sounds insane in our culture, but that's a pretty good biblical principle. But imagine if you would, and I don't know how big of a stretch this is for you, but imagine you have a huge balance on a credit card. And imagine all your debt packaged into one credit card. And then imagine you go through financial peace so you start paying it off. And maybe it even takes you years to pay off this credit card. But picture, if you will, the moment when you send in the very last payment. What would that feel like? Shalom. All is well. There's peace. There's been restitution. I can have rest for the first time in my life financially. You know, God brought us with his son Jesus. He brought us shalom. And we receive God's peace when we trust in Jesus. But then we receive a deeper, more truer understanding of his peace when we begin to share his message of peace. You know, the greatest reason why we share the gospel is because until someone receives what Jesus did for them, they are bound, as the kids told us, for an eternity separated from God. That's the number one reason we share. But there is an amazing side benefit that when we begin to share the good news of Jesus, we experience a truer and a deeper sense of shalom than we have ever known. And you know what I'm talking about. Because when you have an opportunity, when God opens a door like we talked about last week, and you walk through that door and you share the good news of Jesus, how do you feel? You know what you're feeling? You're feeling shalom at a new level. You are feeling a sense of, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and it feels really good. And that is intended. And that is when our feet become beautiful, when we not only receive the gospel, but when we become living, walking out through our lives and our words, the full, true, pure gospel of what Jesus Christ did. We get to know shalom. Listen to this, please. We will know true peace when we share God's way of true life and peace. If I interviewed all of you in this room and I interviewed myself, there isn't any one of us that wouldn't say, I'd like a little more peace, please. No, nobody would sit here and say, I'd like a little less peace in my life. I'd like a little more turmoil. If I could get some anxiety to go with that, that'd be awesome. Be excellent. None of us would do that. There isn't a human being on earth that wouldn't want more peace. As a follower of Jesus, we experience, according to Isaiah 52:7, we experience more of God's true peace when we begin to share his good news of peace. You know, my daughter Selah, she got peace when she called out to Dad. When she said, Dad, I need you, is when she experienced peace. Now, she would never have called out to me if she didn't believe that I was going to do it. If I was one of those dads that did just say, you better get going. If I had proven myself to be that kind of a dad, she would have never asked me to pick her up. We only call out if we believe that someone is going to help us. She believed that Dad would help her. She believed, why? Because I've put her on my shoulders before when she's been tired. So she believed in her heart, she trusted in the fact that Dad would pick her up and he'd carry her. Listen to Romans 10:13-15. Powerful verses. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those words calls on means to appeal to or invoke. Everyone who appeals to Jesus for their salvation alone will be saved. Everyone. Anyone and everyone who says, Jesus Christ, will you save me? Because I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I believe, I trust that you did that for me when you died on the cross. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then it doesn't stop there. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you don't believe, you're not going to call on, just like Selah. And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? Now, I want to tell you, there are people, there are folks in our world who have never heard the gospel, entire people groups. And I hope with all of my heart that we begin to send missionaries out to some of those people groups, completely unreached with the gospel. And there are those people groups. And there are people groups and areas within our own state that are unreached, both Minnesota and Wisconsin. And there are people within our own community, small people groups, that are unreached with the gospel. They have never heard. I know that because in my times at Youth for Christ, I experienced kid after kid after kid who had never heard the gospel. Ever. There are people all over this community and around this world who have never heard. How are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And then it goes on. How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And then Paul's going to quote Isaiah, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." That's why we share. We share because God has sent us. He said very clearly, Matthew 28, "Go therefore into all the world and make disciples." And a part of that is the proclaiming of the gospel of his son Jesus, the good news. That's why we go. That's why we get involved in people's business. Because somebody got involved in our business. You know, there's not one of us here that would be here if it wasn't for someone being willing to share the gospel with us. Is that true? Not one of us. Every single one of us heard the gospel or saw the gospel, lived out, told out to us by another person. And that's how it works. We share the gospel because someone shared it with us. We are willing to be sent. We go because, first of all, Jesus was willing to be sent and he went. And now people from generation to generation continue to be willing to be sent into all the world to bring this amazing, the greatest news that has ever been told. Sometimes we forget that it is the greatest news that has ever been told. And when we do that, when we share this good news, our feet become beautiful. We share shalom. We share the gospel. And that's this basic. The basic that we are talking about is the sharing of the good news. Let's read two verses, and we're going to talk about the basic and a twist. Ephesians 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul saying this, "Pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." We talked about how we can have more boldness in the sharing of our faith. "For which I am an ambassador in chains," Paul says, "that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." You see, Paul's life was radically changed because of the gospel. Paul was he was crucifying, killing, locking up Christians. Any of you that bad? That's where he was going. He was living a life, he was on a path, he was focused on what he was doing. And then Jesus met him, he interacted with him, and he radically changed his life, and he began walking in a new direction, not killing Christians, but now proclaiming Jesus. Colossians 4, 3 and 4 says, "At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." Our basic of sharing the gospel is this. Our desire is to share the gospel boldly and clearly with one person in 2013. That's our challenge. To share the gospel, that God would open up a door to share the gospel boldly and clearly with one person. We talked last week, are we willing? If God opens a door, are we willing to walk through it? Here's the twist on this basic. This is what we're going to do. We're going to begin to pray for each other to have an open door to share the gospel. We're actually going to begin to set up prayer partners in this gospel. When Paul said those two passages from Ephesians and Colossians, he said, "Pray for me." that I may be bold. And then he said, pray for us, that I may be clear and God may open up a door. I think we pray oftentimes for those people in our life who don't know Jesus. And I think that that's good and fine. But very rarely do we pray for each other in the sharing, proclaiming of the gospel. I think it's an area that we've really missed it. We have forgotten to pray for each other that we would be bold and clear. And so what we're going to do is set up prayer partners. Inside your bulletin, we're going to close with this morning. Inside your bulletin is a little card. And if you grab that card, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up prayer partners right here with someone at Bayside. And what I want you to do is, I would like everybody to fill one of these out. If you don't have one, if you didn't get a bulletin, there's more back at the Welcome Center. We're also going to be putting these in the bulletin, and we're going to be talking about this for at least the next week or so. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to have somebody that you are partnering with to pray for you, and they're going to, and you're going to return the favor. You're going to begin praying for each other in the sharing of the gospel. And so everybody, put your name on the top if you want to be a part of this challenge. And then you may check number one, I have a prayer partner. Now, we're going to ask that this prayer partner is not part of your immediate family, or maybe not a normal prayer partner that you've had in the past. The reason is we want to, this is a new challenge. We want people to have new prayer partners in this. And so if you have a prayer partner that you've set up, we just like to know how many people are engaging in this. Just put your name in. I have a prayer partner. If you're like me and you're going to put your name into sort of this hat to figure out who my prayer partner is going to be, then you put your name, then you check, I need a prayer partner. Put your phone number and email address so we can start connecting with each other on who we're going to be sharing the gospel, who we're going to be praying for to share the gospel in 2013. So if you have this, fill it out. You can put it in your connection box. If you want to get another one of these, if you didn't grab a bulletin, there's more in the back on the Welcome Center. We'll also be talking about this a little more next week. Every one of us has experienced, if we've trusted in Jesus, we've experienced a part of God's peace. But I think there's a deeper peace available. I want to say this quote again. We will know true peace when we share God's way of true life and peace. I don't think there's any of us that wouldn't like a little more shalom in our life. True shalom, according to Isaiah 52:7, is about bringing the good news. Our feet become beautiful when we share the truth of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we are just thankful, God, where our hearts are filled with gratitude because of what you have done. Lord, you have given us this amazing gift of salvation, and it is a gift, God. We can't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We can't work for it. All we can do is simply receive that by faith. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has not received that gift, that God, they would call out, invoke, appeal to the name of your Son, Jesus, even this morning. God, I pray that they would trust in you and you alone for their salvation. God, your word tells us when we do that, we have been given a promise of eternal life. We can know that we will be with you one day. And we thank you for that. And I pray, God, that you would stir in each of our hearts, God, of how then, as we have received the gospel, how we can then be prepared and ready and bold and clear in the sharing of the gospel. So, Father, open up doors for all of us here. I thank you, God, for the ways and the stories that we are hearing of doors that you've been opening. And I pray, God, that you would open up more doors for us to walk through and just to share this amazing news of the story of rescue and redemption that is found only in your Son, Jesus. God, thank you. We love you. Pray that our lives can reflect that wonderful good news of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.